The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Today we're going to continue to talk about immortality. Immortality. God making you, who are mortal, into immortals through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, we talked about that last week, but today I'd like to talk with you about it this week and the stages that God has in His ultimate plan and goal for us in Christ to bring us to immortality that we journey through on the way towards becoming immortal. I want to say there are three stages according to Scripture. Is that true? Are there actually three stages or three steps in God's ultimate plan to make us immortal in Christ that we go through in order to become immortal with Him in the kingdom, eternal, everlasting, in the world to come? Let's take a look at that today and see whether that is true or not, and what good word God has to share with us about that. So first of all, let us review a little bit what we said last week in God's ultimate plan for our immortality in Christ. So for that, I'm going to get this picture up here. The three stages. All right, so the first thing we said last week was that man was originally created for immortality, to live forever. Because you remember, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were created perfect. Perfect in righteousness, perfect in every way, completely alive in their spirit, in their soul, which for the purposes of this sermon is going to be our conscious minds, our wills, and our emotions, leading to our actions. And they were perfect in their bodies, too. And they could have lived forever had they taken of the tree of life, which was also there in the garden, free to eat. God said, you can eat of it if you want to. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. So originally, man was created for immortality, to live forever with God. Of course, where does mortality come in? When they sinned, exactly, Kevin. At the very first sin, man became mortal. For God said, in the day that you eat of that forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die. So how did Adam and Eve die when they became mortal, when they sinned against God? Well, first of all, they became dead in their spirit. This is the first one, their spirit, their core, headquarters, their innermost person. They were dead there, and they're dead in their relationship to God, right? Because Ephesians 2 says, dead in your trespasses and sins. Then they're dead also in their soul, and for this case, for this sermon, we're going to call that, remember, our conscious mind, will, and emotions leading to our actions that we take. They were previously oriented towards God. But now, after sin, they were dead there too because they were oriented not towards God, but towards self-exaltation, becoming their own gods, following after the ways of evil, walking in the paths of death, and following the devil's will. So dead in their spirit, dead in their souls. And by the way, soul and spirit in the scriptures are often interchanged, but in this sermon we're saying innermost you, then your conscious mind is the soul, and then they're dead also in their bodies. Now, they didn't die immediately that day, but death immediately became at work in them as soon as they sinned, because as soon as they sinned, they started to age. Things started to break down and fall apart. Took a little while for them, but in the course of time, they withered, they perished, they died, they were buried, and they returned to dust. You are dust, and to dust you shall return, thus said the Lord. And remember, He drove them out and away from the tree of life, lest in that evil state with a dead spirit, evil soul, dead, and evil dead body, they would live forever in that state. You can't give, God will never give immortality to someone in that evil state. Okay, so dead in spirit, soul, and body, that's where mortality came in. Same thing for all of us. Before Christ came, same thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death entered through sin, so death spread to all men because all men sinned. So for all of us, this is the same case. We're all mortal. Say the word mortal.
Mortal.
Mortal means subject to death. You can perish, wither, and die, and return to dust. You're dead in your spirit. We were before Christ came, for we read that in Ephesians. Let's read that actually now for a moment. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working the sons of disobedience, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So we were dead in our spirits, in our inner, most inner headquarters of you, and you're in the core of who you were, and in your relationship to God. You were dead in your souls, we were, because we also were following the desires of body and mind. And so we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We were no longer oriented towards God, but towards the fulfillment of our own cravings, of our own sinful evil passions, and following the will of the devil. Didn't know God. And we were dead in our bodies too, mortal, because we were, and in a sense still are, subject in our bodies to death. Right? We die. Nobody's going to live here forever. So this is a very timely sermon. We better understand it because the days are numbered for each and every one of us before we perish and leave this earth. So we want to understand immortality. This all being said, that's the situation. What did God do for us and his overall ultimate goal for us in Christ and plan to save us? Well, we became mortal. So we needed someone with immortality to come and gift and give us, achieve for us, immortality. So who has immortality? Rich. How many people have immortality? Who ultimately had immortality? God alone, right? Amen. That's over here in 1 Timothy. Let's read that one. He's the only one who could do it. God. Because 1 Timothy 6:15. Paul says, God is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. God alone is the eternal, immortal, everlasting God from forever to forever. He had to come and rescue us from mortality, subjection to death and evil. All right. So how did he do that? The immortal God sent his Son, who's the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. He is immortal. He is eternal life. He took on our mortality in our body, right? He came and was born into a body that could die. Hence, he went to the cross, and what happened to him there? He died because he had a mortal body. He took on our mortality, right? But what did he do on that cross, Jenny? He died for our sins to pay the penalty for them. The wages of sin is death, to liberate us, that the free gift of God might be to us in eternal life in Jesus Christ. In other words, he died for our sins. He rose, resurrected with eternal life on the third day to give resurrected eternal life, which is immortality, to all who come to him by faith and call on his name. That's the ultimate goal of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Great, isn't it? This is the hooray message we shared last week. Okay, so that's how God saved us, brought immortality, made it, achieved it available for all mankind. But then it's got to come to us personally, that we ourselves receive it and it's applied to us, that we become immortal through what he did for us. So are there actually three stages to you becoming immortal? That's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the message. Three stages, you ever hear that before? Well, let me ask you this question. Let me phrase it this way, okay? Which statement is correct? Here's your little question for today. Which statement is correct? You have been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. Which is correct?
Yes.
All three of them? Or one of them or two of them? You have been saved, past tense. You are being saved, present tense. You will be saved, future tense. Which is correct?
All three.
All three. You guys are great. Maybe we should just say amen here and go home.
Amen.
Check it out. There's a past tense to your salvation we're going to talk about, a present tense to your salvation, and a future tense to your salvation. Let's read that in Scripture and see if that's really true. You have been saved. Where can we look to for that one? Check it out, Ephesians 2. Once again, we'll jump down to verse 8 now. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing, it's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So let's say, Taylor, on the spot here, is that true? You have been saved? Is that a past tense thing? Yes, you can say that for sure. As Christians, something's already occurred in your past that you become saved, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So that's a past tense thing. And now in the Greek here, that's a past tense verb, a past action that has continuous present and future effects. So you have been saved, which means you still are and you will be. So there's a sense of our salvation already being accomplished for us in the past. Is there a present tense to our being saved? Well, okay, here we go. You're tracking with me? 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Is there anything, Phil, anything present about that to you? Yeah, to those who are being saved. So you have been saved, and you are being saved, present tense, right now, a continuous work of God. You're a work in progress towards immortality. You already are immortal. You're becoming immortal in the present tense. And then the third one, let's take a look at Romans 5. Is there a future tense to it, Doug? What do you think? Let's take a look. You're on the spot, so listen carefully. All right, Romans 5, verse 9. Since therefore we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Is there a future tense to your salvation? We shall be, future tense, saved. So you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. In this case, from the wrath of God, which is the judgment day to come, the last day. So you have been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. Now, what do we call those in theology? Probably no. You have been saved is your, can you read that far? Justification. You are being saved. We call that your sanctification. You guys are so good. You will be saved, future tense. We call that your glorification. Isn't that nice and neat and simple? But this helps us to see where we are in God's plan, moving you towards making you immortal, which is the most important thing we really need, because otherwise, if we don't get this in Jesus, we're going to hell, okay? But if we receive this, we're going to enjoy the kingdom eternally alive. So let's consider first our justification. What is that? When we were saved in a past event. When were you saved, Art? When were you saved? When did you get justified before God? What happened in your past event?
Received Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you came to faith in Jesus Christ and believed on him. You repented of your sins and you called on his name. Was Art saved the moment he came to faith and believed in Christ?
Yes.
In the past, with present and continuing and future effects, you were saved when you came to Christ. You're still saved because of that, and you will be saved. So that's a past event that's presently blessing you, and it's a future event. You will be saved because you have been justified. Now consider what it says here in Romans 3. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are justified by his grace as a gift, free gift, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. Has everybody here repented of your sins, come to Christ, call on him for salvation? Then you have been saved. A past event, meaning you have been justified before God. What's it mean to be justified? Well, some people say in theology, it's a nice play on words, kind of works, though. It's just as if you never sinned. Justified is just as if you've never sinned, which means because of what Christ did for you 2,000 years ago, all of your sins were gathered up by God and credited to Christ on the cross, counted to him, and he died there and paid for them. They were credited and counted to him. Now you, believing on him, when you come to him by faith, all of his righteousness and eternal life and salvation is now counted and credited to you to justify you. That pertains especially to your spirit. Notice how God's reversing everything that God did with that Adam messed up. Adam sinned, he broke his relationship with God, his spirit was dead. What does God do for you in justification is he fixes your relationship with him, right? So that you come into friendship and reconciliation with God. Because Christ's blood, his death, atoned for your sins, you believing on him are justified. Romans 3, God justifies the person who has faith in Jesus Christ. God counts you as just, counts you as righteous, accepts you and welcomes you home. Says the prodigal son has come home, let's eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And when you came to faith in Christ, what happened? You got a new spirit. I'm going to take out of you the heart of flesh. I'm going to take out of you that stony heart, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, the new has come. He's put a new spirit within us that we might walk in his ways and keep his commandments and know him as our God. So in justification, it's a past event. You've come to faith in Christ. You're now right with God, justified. And now you have a new heart and a new spirit. So let's say this. The crown. This is immortality, let's say. The crown of immortal life. What has God already done for you in the past? He's put a crown on your spirit, right? Perfect. Raised. You have the divine nature. You have God's own nature abiding you. You have his own spirit. He's given you a new spirit. You're a new creation, and you're justified before him. Already, you have eternal life. Do you have eternal life already? 1 John 5, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, present tense, eternal life. Because of that coming to Christ, you've been justified, a new spirit you have, and you have immortality crowning you already. Therefore, Jesus says, if you die, even if you die, if you believe in me, you're not going to die. John 11, 25, but you live forever. Death can't touch your spirit anymore. You've been saved. Hooray, right? Say hooray.
Hooray.
What about your, what happened to sanctification? What about, that's why you always got to get new tape. What about you being saved, though? Is immortality already completely crowning your soul? Let's say your conscious mind, will, emotions leading to your actions. Well, he saved the whole of you when he saved you, but the Bible also says we are being saved, present tense. It's a process, sanctification. If he puts the crown on you, on your spirit in justification, he's helping you now to grow up into maturity that you fit the crown in your sanctification. Is that true? Once you're saved and justified in Christ, are you perfect in your mind and all your thoughts and all of your desires? You have a new nature, this one, but you also have the old nature in your flesh and your body. It still desires evil, wants to go after the cravings of the passions of the evil flesh, still wants to walk the way of death. So in the middle here, your spirit says, go the right way. Your body says, go the wrong way. And there's a battle in the soul, isn't there? Paul says the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. Paul says, I desire to do the right thing, but when I want to do the right thing, evil lies close at hand. I want to do the right thing, but evil lies close at hand. I don't understand my own actions. I need to go in the right way. So what is God doing in sanctification? He says, now that you're saved, now that we're good, now that we're friends, you have a new heart, let's grow you up in Jesus. Let's help you to become mature. We're not adding to your salvation in sanctification. You know, you were justified, you're completely saved. This isn't adding anything to that, but it's growing up into maturity to make you like Christ. That when eventually you get old enough and the crown will fit, if I put it on my head, it's gonna look crazy, but you're gonna grow up until you eventually become that you fulfill and you look like Jesus. So what is your sanctification life? Is that God wants to put the crown here? He's growing you up into it. What is that experience like? Easy or hard?
Hard.
Is it joyful or distressing?
Yes.
Sanctification's fantastic. It's justification is God's work. Sanctification is God's work. Holy Spirit, He's doing great things. Your work in progress. It's joyful. It's easy because we have a good life. We love living with God. It's awesome. But guess what? It's also a struggle. Growing up in Jesus is a battle. And we fight against the devil, a dragon that's an evil spirit coming against us to try to steal our crown away. You've got the world tempting you constantly, trying to steal your crown back. Come back with us to the world. Come back to the ways of evil and sin. It's fun over here. Give up on that immortality in Christ, says the world. We also have a sin nature in our bodies. Okay, the body still has sin in our flesh, so we got a traitor inside of us, all trying to steal our crown. So it's a hard thing, too. We've got to fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So how do you do this, by the way, in sanctification? What's your job? Fight the good fight of the faith, fight the devil, fight the world, fight your own sin nature. What do you do to build yourself up? Get in the Word of God. Don't neglect this. If you go too long without this book, it's like you're going into battle without any bullets. Don't do that. It's not good. These guys are tough, the bad guys. You've got to fill your ammunition. Jesus says, you're not of the world anymore. I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Sanctify them, O God, in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you got to be in the word. You got to be in the prayer because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So pray that your spirit have the strength to stand in the day of battle. Come to church like you're doing today. If you're not coming to church, you're just like, you know, that little gazelle that runs away from the pack or the herd on those African, you know, National Geographic shows. They are mincemeat. Pretty soon, the lions pounce on the one who's alone. You've got to be with the herd. Get with Christians, because that's where you're safe and strong and built up like you are today. And you got to strive for this. Strive for the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, it says in Hebrews. Strive. Run the race. Strain with all your energy and might, says Paul. Agonizomai in the Greek, like an Olympic champion. Run for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus for the crown of life that awaits you at the end of your trials. So in justification, you were saved. In sanctification, you are being saved. And by the way, that's the Holy Spirit's work. It's His joy to daily change you into the image of Jesus Christ. The Lord is a spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into Christ-likeness from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Okay, you good with me? So you were saved, past tense, in justification. You are being saved, present tense, sanctification. And you will be saved, future tense, glorification, especially with respect to your body. Because right now as Christians, it's like, I'm a Christian. Why isn't everything better for me yet? It's because your body still is mortal. Your spirit's immortal. Your body is still lagging. You go to the doctor, it falls apart. You are going to die if Christ doesn't come in your lifetime. It's mortal. But guess what? You will be saved. This is the ultimate third step. God is planning on crowning your body. Also, like we said last week, better than Superman. Superman was impervious to bullets. but he could die with kryptonite. You'll be impervious to bullets. Not that there will be any. But you'll live forever. Nothing can kill you. You will have power, glory, strength, shining. Your body will be made absolutely, perfectly immortal with shining glory in the kingdom. But remember, that is, what does it say?
Future.
Is that a future event? Let's look at a few passages here. It says, for God raised the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6, and God will raise us also up by his power. Future. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Say last day.
Last day.
We got to wait for this one. That's been done. This is being done. This one we wait for. This one is fast. This one takes a while. This one is so fast, it's a blink of an eye. You don't have to wait long for that one. When it comes, boom, you'll be glorified. And God's goal for you in Christ completed. What a beautiful day that'll be. If the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit which dwells in you. If you have the Holy Spirit in justification, he's sanctifying you, your body most certainly, surely will also be raised and glorified on a day soon to come. That's future though. You got to wait for it. What's the good news though? All of our present struggles, this slight momentary affliction, think of it this way. It's just preparing you for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we're looking to the things not that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Think about that. What are you suffering from today, guys? Is this a hard struggle? Is it a terrible fight? Well, at the end of it, there's a victor's crown. And when he comes to raise up your bodies, which he's going to do, that's his promise, it's going to go fast. Because 1 Corinthians 15 says, I tell you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. In other words, die. But we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For our present perishable nature has got to put on imperishable. Our present mortal nature must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? And death, where is your sting now? For the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what am I saying? This is the conclusion, okay? Let's review. You were saved. Come on, sanctification. See how hard it is? These other ones are so steady. Sanctification keeps falling off. So keep fighting the fight. You were saved. You have been saved, I should say. You've been justified by faith in Christ. Born again, a new spirit. You are being saved, made daily more and more like Christ in your conscious mind, will, and emotions by your sanctification. And you will be saved in your body in the future at the last day, and you will be glorified. An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison has been prepared for you. Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So in conclusion, now this is the conclusion. Be of good cheer. If the struggle is hard today, guess what? You're 2/3 of the way there, right? God's plan here. You're already well into the 2/3. And now all you have is the last third, and that when it comes, bam, that comes so fast. That's our future. So keep running the good race with good cheer. God is on your side, and his promises will come to pass for you. Conclude with this. I am sure, friends, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Immortality. Life forever with Jesus and all the saints in the kingdom, and a joy everlasting. Amen.